Here we are in a buzzy Fringe Central as people staple their reviews to their flyers, and I'm with Mark and Simon with two fairly loud T-shirts, which suggests it's a musical here at the Edinburgh Fringe. And Mark and Simon, are you the new Rodgers and Hammerstein of the slasher musical genre?
I mean, we prefer to think George and Ira Gershwin, but, you know, the Sherman Brothers would do as well. We've been trying to figure out whether it's going to be Mark and Simon Nathan, the Nathan Brothers, but, yeah, we've been writing songs together for about 15 years now, since we were little kids. This is the first time we've written a full-scale musical together, and we're incredibly excited about having it all put on at the Edinburgh Fringe.
So the classic naive question I always love to ask of them, you know, the composer and the lyricist, what comes first, the music or the lyrics?
In our case, we actually tend to do music before lyrics. We tend to try and lay out a sort of framework, and then at that point, once we get the general idea down, then the lyrics can flow and become like something absolutely awesome. Although we have actually tried the other way around, it does work both ways. Whoever has the better idea.
It's incredibly important. The whole thing is a collaborative effort. I mean, it has to be both ways.
But I am checking. There are definitely, you know, there's two arms and hands on you and two on you, so you're not Siamese twins. How do you join up but still get the best of your individuality?
Well, it's actually an interesting one because Simon lives in Cambridge and I live down in Surrey. So we don't get to spend very much time sat in a room together, which is ideally how we would like to compose. So usually what will happen is I'll send Simon some lyrics and he'll say, no, these are terrible because of this, this and this. And I'll send it back and I'll correct it and we'll sort of get it right. And we'll do the same thing with the music. And it will happen over hundreds of emails and phone conversations. So we waste loads of time doing that.
I've probably got about 1,000, 2,000 emails in my inbox from Mark. It's quite a lot. I mean, we've had days where we've probably exchanged about 100, 150 emails in one go. It's pretty constant there.
So take us back to the spark moment, the moment when the idea of let's do Riptide the musical, you know, the Beach Boys meets, you know, horror.
We've been writing songs together, as I said, for a long time, and it was about a year and a half ago, one of us said to the other, I can never remember which, right, it's time, we're going to write a musical. And neither of us had any idea how to write a book. So I got in contact with a musical-obsessed, comedy-obsessed, and horror-obsessed friend of mine, Chaz Redhead, and I said, you want to write a book for a musical, right? And he absolutely jumped at the chance and he said, right, but it's got to be a horror comedy musical because that's just what he does. And we thought this was the most amazing idea. It's original, it's snappy, hopefully it's going to sell. And so we went right for it.
So let me just kind of press you on that. So there have been over the years in Edinburgh a lot of horror comedy musicals. What's unique about this one?
What we do is we absolutely take the piss out of the slasher genre. Particularly, most horror comedy musicals that we see are sort of a Woman in Black kind of things pop set to music rather than the actual slasher genre, like like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Scream. To my knowledge, I don't think I've seen many. There have been a couple. I think Bloodbath the Musical was there a couple of years ago.
Evil Den as well.
But in general, the idea of combining slasher with musical as opposed to horror with musical is largely untouched. There aren't really any big names out there that do that.
Not a whole lot, but we also like to think that what we're doing is something very creative musically, and so we're not just combining sort of taking the piss out of horror and sort of hoping that the audience will have a laugh, but we actually really wanted to make a good musically legitimate work out of this, which we hope we've done.
you can find it absolutely hilarious without actually knowing anything about the genre at all, like or character development, jokes all the way through. I mean, the script, even when you just read the script, is laugh out loud funny, and the actors we've got delivering them are beyond incredible and are just stupendously awesome.
Well, you couldn't fit more superlatives into a sentence there, good Lord. But I hope those kind of superlatives in the lyrics as well.
Well, I do my best. Both Chaz and I do have a tendency to deal in superlatives. You know, this is the best thing. This is the worst thing ever. We've got to get rid of this because it's the worst line you've ever written. This is the greatest lyric that I've ever written ever. Which I think you do have to actually have a measure of because, you know, you can't sort of deal in, yeah, this is pretty good. You can't create something that you're artistically happy with if it's just you know, 6 out of 10.
I guess also for both of you, speaking to, you know, people with a musical background, the actual genre, you know, the death stalking the innocent people on the beach, you know, that began in Jaws, there's so much scope, isn't there, for music around, you know, that particular archetype of everybody's just quiet and having a good time, but something's lurking. That must give you loads of raw material.
What's absolutely wonderful about writing for something like that is that you can have as much creepiness as you want, obviously, but because of the fact that it's a comedy and that it's a slasher, and slashers never really take themselves too seriously, a lot of the songs can be really upbeat, really happy, almost. So one of our opening numbers, Spring Break, is a really, really upbeat number about how everybody's really, really looking forward to going on the beach. And because you know what's going to happen and you know what's just happened in our rather incredible prologue, it ends up being almost bittersweet and actually really still quite creepy, despite the fact that it's already happy. So you can actually play around with a huge number of genres. I think in this musical we cover rock, we cover cheesy pop, we've got klezmer and hot jazz, tango. I think there's even a Latin number as well. So I mean, there's a huge amount of and reggae. There's a huge amount of different musical styles we can cover and still legitimately produce an absolutely awesome musical.
An absolutely awesome musical.
The amazingest musical, the best.
And so just staying in that creative kind of conversation, so how do you slash musically without just always falling into Psycho and the shower scene?
Bowed cymbals. They're great. They're the creepiest sound in the world. But no, Simon, one of his amazing talents is that he is so, so creative with the sounds that an instrument can make. So we've got loads and loads of different creepy, kind of horrible sounds in the show, almost all of which is produced acoustically as opposed to electronically, but all of which is different and adds to the music as opposed to just being atmospheric. He works themes into creepy bits and into the upbeat bits, which make it's so musically clever. And I can say this because I'm not him, so I'm not being arrogant. It's so musically clever. I mean, you'll absolutely love it.
I was playing around on the piano when I started writing this, and there was one particular chord I ended up, which I think I worked out was something like a C minor 7 add sharp 11 chords is the official term for it. But it sounds absolutely beautiful, really, really creepy, and I've tried to find a way of working that chord into the structure of absolutely every single song. So there's a sort of creepy chords tying everything together, no matter how upbeat it is.
And as the musicians, the composers, when you were watching kind of the previews early down in London, had you let go of it by then, or did you get back to the drawing board and, having seen it for the first runs, then think, no, we need to change that bit, that needs reworking?
Well, this was our first show, and so obviously, you know, things we did get things wrong to begin with. And throughout the entire rehearsal process and throughout the entire performance process, we were constantly rejigging. And we've actually rewritten a significant amount of the music for Edinburgh, stuff that we just felt didn't quite work in the London preview. And we've now actually created something that we are completely artistically happy with, which is such an amazing feeling when you've written something down, but neither lyrics or music, and you're like, oh, is this good? And then you hear somebody really talented singing it, and you think, yeah, we've created something great there.
Bagpipes?
Definitely. We were thinking of having this little Scottish section in the middle, but we decided to swap it out for a bit more hard rock. I do want to actually do a shout out to the actors, speaking of which Mark was just saying how talented they were. The actual people we have doing this are all semi-professional, all professional, going in and are just deliver everything that we've written with an utmost clarity and interpretation, and really, really, we couldn't have asked for a better crew to do this with.
Final question to both of you. Favourite moment?
Oh, God. Do you want to go first on that?
Can we have a...
Yes, I've got them speechless at last.
That's good. We love the whole thing. Okay, well, personally, my favourite song is Shower Room Politics, in which our nerdy character, who nobody would give a second glance to, and our horrible jock, who's actually secretly gay, both come together in these sort of dual monologues and create something that I think is both artistically and musically absolutely beautiful. The tune is amazing, the way the vocal harmonies come together, and it's probably the only really serious song in the show, but I think that it just kind of sticks out like a sore thumb in a great way.
My favourite part is in the opening prologue. You've got the exposition of everything that's going on, and in a really, really creepy tone, he describes how this surfer was dragged onto the waves, and when did he surface? He never did. And this crash of thunder comes, at which point one of the people talking the prologue takes out his phone and says, oh, sorry, I'll turn this off. Please continue.
Great joke.
Brilliant. So that was an absolutely and utterly an interview with Riptide, the Slasher musical. Thank you.